Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on.
On 2FM. Right, let's go back to Fiona Coughlan, as I mentioned, because the news came in yesterday that the RFU have confirmed that the Ireland women will play two November tests as part of a 13-month integrated season plan to prepare for the Rugby World Cup qualifiers in September of 2020. So it's a 13-month schedule overall, and Fiona joins us on the line. Hey, how are you, Fiona?
Hi, you, Helsing.
I'm pretty good. So I suppose I want your initial reaction when you saw this news yesterday. Is this a good thing?
It's not a bad thing. I question the timing of it. Like, for me, it should have come out after the review last October. It took a year to get the review in place after the 2017 World Cup disaster. The review came out October 2018, and now we're only hearing about it. I thought it should have been maybe a two-year plan into it, just to give that more time, because we've basically now wasted the summer. I know the Irish girls have been in camp. I don't know, I think it could be once a month over the summer, but no games or anything over the summer. I suppose, looking from an international perspective, the only additional thing that you would normally have is just that Scottish camp. They've had November internationals already for the last number of years. They've had the training and lead into the Six Nations. And then it would be like as if you're going into a World Cup, you'd have those training weekends and then your competition at the end of it. So really the only additional thing is that Scottish camp, which obviously is a positive. I know there's been the talk of the Interpros as well, which is two additional games basically, which again is another good thing, but I've always had an issue with the Interpros not bridging the gap between club and international level, and I suppose that's kind of the quality of it as opposed to the quantity is where we have to try and bridge the gap.
Okay, so this is hardly groundbreaking in its thinking, and as you say, you know, there are a lot of the plans that have been laid out in this 13-month schedule have been in place already. So I just wonder, given that you would have seen firsthand how much work is required to get this team up to a level where they can be confident of qualifying for the World Cup, is this sufficient in order to do that?
Like, realistically, with the timescale now in place, there's not a lot more that they really can do with the summer gone. Like, there's key elements, I suppose, that aren't mentioned in it, like whether there used to be midweek skills camps where the Irish coaches used to go around the provinces and do midweek skills camps to kind of, you know, bridge the gap that was lacking in basic skills. So I hope that they will be in place again. I've no doubt that there's quality in Ireland to get that World Cup qualification. There's two ways of doing it. Winning that European competition in September 2020, or else the second place is going to a world repechage, which will be later in the year, yet to be announced. So I've no doubt that they will be in those top two. And if they don't win Europe, which they should, that if they get to the other world one, Europe is always stronger than anywhere else in the world. And it's always difficult to get out of Europe, which we saw in the sevens last weekend.
Yeah, exactly, and huge disappointment for the women's sevens with regard to that tournament. But you mentioned the Interpros, and there was an announcement as well that the Leinster are going to combine a men's and a women's Interpro on the same day, which seemed to be fairly well greeted at the time. But surely, Fiona, you know, the investment for the women's game needs to go to the clubs, because that's where the majority of training takes place. That's where the players spend the majority of their time, you know, outside of the international setup. And until there's kind of radical reform of how the clubs are treated, you would just feel that I don't know how much the RFU can expect in terms of progress in skill levels of the players.
Yeah, there's always the question with the Interpros, like it should be club, Interpros and then international, but realistically that doesn't work because of the, I suppose, time that the Interpro coaches get with the players, so it actually makes more sense to have it at the start of the year. But like you said, it has to go down to the clubs, and they do have a three-year plan coming in. There's going to be no changes this year with regards to the club game, but going forward there will be changes to the AIL and trying to align it better with the senior clubs and links, probably similar to something like the English Tyrrell Premiership, which obviously have had a resounding success, and it's only getting better. So if we can link it something like that, that would be really positive. But likewise at Interpro level, that better relationship at Interpro level is really important, because for years it was kind of ad hocly done, and it was kind of, there was never any kind of, I suppose, forward planning of who the coach would be, or succession planning, who the coach would be next year, or well, they know the players coming through. So there seems to be a better relationship between the underage in the provinces and the senior coaches being kept on, like Ben Armstrong has been kept on at Leinster, Laura Guest is in Munster, so that's brilliant. And then the alignment with the double headers as well, there seems to be kind of more buy-in from the provinces, which probably lacked in the past.
Yeah, and I don't know if you, how much of the international series you saw between England, United States, New Zealand, France over the last couple of weeks, but I managed to catch a fair few of the games myself. It does seem like, you know, the urgency is pretty big here, Fiona, for Ireland. I mean, like, go back to your 2013 year and the squad that was available at the time and the players were, Ireland were right up in the mix with regard to the top level of international rugby. Now we've been completely left behind and the gap seems to be going, growing and growing with regards to the top level tiers. England, France, New Zealand in particular, USA as well are holding their own, and you just would hate to see that gap get any bigger.
Yeah, look, that competition was the five best teams in the world, and the standards of the games were really, really good. And they're building for a World Cup in 2 years' time. They know that they're at, so they could blood new players and, you know, use it as a tour to see their depth. And that's probably something Ireland are going to lack if they do qualify for the next World Cup, is that depth that we've kind of always lacked because we're playing catch up. And now, at the moment, we're playing catch up just to even qualify for the World Cup. So, yeah, I don't know drastically what else you can do. Like, realistically, it's not going to go pro. And I get that, and I understand why it's not sustainable and the funding around it and, you know, people giving up jobs and stuff like that. But, yeah, there has to be something drastic, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think we're going to continue to have to play catch-up and hope we get to the next World Cup. And then there is definitely more happening at underage level, which is really positive, that whether it be minis, schools, clubs, at underage level, there's definitely more activation and more, but I think the gap is going to be way ahead. So even if we do qualify for the World Cup, we're not going to be in that top four, top six again.
I love the pretty picture that you paint, Fiona. Thanks a million.
I always say the potential is in this country.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I've been here. I was like, our success didn't come from structures. It came from having really good quality people involved.
Yeah.
And you know, so regardless of structures and money put into something, you can still be successful, you know, if you have the right people there. And, you know, that's certainly what we had in 2013, 2014. So I still believe that the right people are there. So it's just a matter of them coming together.
Okay. Brilliant stuff, Fiona. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, Mel.
Super. Fiona Coughlan there, former Ireland captain, of course, and Grand Slam winner. Game on 2FM.